You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall and Mike Grennan with you to look ahead to a couple of events this week. We've got the Open de España on the European Tour and the Wells Fargo Championship on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Mike Grennan.
Hello, Mr. Dave Kellner.
It was looking good for a long time last week.
It was, wasn't it? Particularly you guys who both picked David Hearn at 200-1, and he was right in the mix, wasn't he? Dave Tindall also had Kevin Na, yeah, who went very well. We both had Billy Horsch, who was going very well. They were all in the mix, weren't they? With a real run. Yeah. I'd backed Chris Kirk myself for one of the biggest wins I've ever had, and he dropped out of contention, and everyone else did, didn't they? They played terribly, and the final night was just... It was golfing disaster.
It was. Fowler's...
For us it was. For the game of golf, it was the opposite.
Ricky Fowler's finish was exceptional, wasn't it? 6 under for the last 6 holes to get in a playoff against Sergio Garcia and Kevin Kisner. And he birdied 17 three times,
amazing,
twice in regulation and then once in the playoff. And he only had to hull 18 feet worth of putts to birdie it three times as well. It was some finish, Dave.
We're ladling it on here. As bad as the night was for Dave, it gets worse because he backed him every week early in the season and didn't back him last week.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, one of those ones.
Let's get the Samaritans in quick.
I was actually on in play on Friday night. I don't know when would that poll come out when it said he was overrated. Was that before?
It was pre-tournament, yeah.
Did we talk about it?
No, we didn't.
Right. It was after us, pre-tournament.
Okay, right. Yeah. It's one of those ones. I wonder if that would have got me over the line on Fowler, you know, because I was on him play on radio on Friday night,
yeah,
and put him up a couple of times on that basis that he made. Just
oh, did you?
Yeah. No, not at any great price, you know, 8 and 10s, something like that, but just on that basis that maybe that would be the extra, you know, yard that got him over the line. And
do you think it did? Well, it's a bit of a coincidence if it didn't, I guess.
I read an article by one of the journalists who said he'd sat with Ricky Fowler on a flight or something and watched him answer all or go through all his social media stuff and either reply to it or kill it if it was kind of disparaging.
Oh, really?
So I think he does care.
Yeah.
I don't think he just flippantly... It's just that, you know, he's not a spiky character, is he? He's not going to challenge it on air, but privately he might just have thought, oh, hang on. Mm-hmm. Hang on a minute. But yeah, 60-1.
Yeah, it was a big price, wasn't it? In hindsight, obviously.
Especially as he had a second place there, didn't he? I think it was just the mixture of other...
Didn't he miss three of the last four? We did discuss him last week.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
DK was trying to get you to put him up, wasn't he? He said, and I said, well, he's got some form there, second, but he missed three of the four.
That was his only decent finish, wasn't it?
If that survey, if I'd known that. If, but.
It was a great finish. Great golf course as well. Always produces an exciting finish to the players. It's one of the best tournaments on tour, Mike.
I prefer it to Augusta myself. I know Dave doesn't.
No.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just think Augusta's dull most of the time. You know, the final rounds have just become quite... It doesn't excite me as much as it used to. I think they need to have a look at that course. Whereas Sawgrass, there's just more interesting stuff going on.
It was great having the playoff over those three holes,
that's
wasn't
fantastic,
it? That was a real good idea.
The par fives are I don't know, they're just... Sawgrass is really shaping up well the last few years. It's always interesting.
Water seems to be in play, doesn't it, on the par fives more and more and more every year at Sawgrass, whereas at Augusta you can, especially this year, you could navigate your way around that golf course without encountering real significant problems.
That's right, as Jordan Spieth did.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact that he was so all powerful this year kind of... It didn't make it the most interesting event, did it? So maybe I'm being a little unfair. But I wouldn't have said that a few years ago. I'd have said, but Sawgrass has really gone up in my estimation. Are you with me there?
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I think it's a fantastic golf course for a superb championship. So,
we haven't been to Augusta, Dave, so we don't like it.
You took the words out of my mouth. Let's get stuck into this week's
even
events.
Kirsty Gallagher and all that.
The Open de España, first up. This is on the European Tour. We've reached May, so it's the It's time for the first European Tour event actually in mainland Europe this week. And Sergio Garcia is the 92 favourite for the event. Emiliano Grillo and Tommy Fleetwood, both 22s. Pablo Larrazabal is 25-1. Romain Vatel is 25s. Thomas Aiken is 25s. And it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. I like the golf courses in Spain. They seem to test every...
How are you calling this golf course?
El Prat.
Does seem like the name for the local village idiot, doesn't it?
El Prat.
Yeah, it has moved from PGA Catalonia, hasn't it, unfortunately? And it has gone to the Rail Club de Golf El Prat.
Yes, it was played here 2011. And yes. There's a Challenge Tour event played there, I think in 06.
Yeah.
And then there was like an older El Prat... the village
son
idiot
of
elder,
Pratt, yeah. Older yeah.
You're a very silly man. So that was 98-99. So a few of the guys have got form, but it's just worth saying that the old, I think Greg Norman redesigned it in 2004. Yeah. So anything beyond there is the most relevant.
I do think though that looking back at 2011, it did seem a bit of a greens and regulation course. That's how I read it anyway. So that's the type of player I was looking at.
Yeah, it's a golf course that measures 7,298 yards, as Dave said. Greg Norman has worked on the golf course. And as you mentioned, Dave, in your Roto World golf preview, it's a tale of two nines, really, this golf course.
I'm glad you're reading those. That's
yeah,
nice.
Well, I like to keep up to date.
Yes, it was a quote from Larrazabal actually saying one of them's a more strategic nine, the other one's longer and wide open. So it's a nice sort of varied test, I think. Mm. Yeah, Thomas Aiken was the winner last time. What Mike just said, he's obviously a greens and regulation kind of guy. Also, I remember last time, it was a weekend where Seve passed away, wasn't it, in 2011. And I remember Aiken dedicated his win to him, so a few of those sort of sad memories coming back.
I've not got an official pick in the event. Mike, have you got a selection?
I've got one, albeit he's been... As they always are on the afternoon of the podcast, it's been cut.
Yeah.
And it's almost a cut too far, to be honest. I'm just mulling over whether
I've got two, so shall I go with my first one and then you'll mull?
Yeah, and I will say who it is, obviously. Yeah. In fact, I probably will back him.
Yeah. My first one, it's not very original, and it's kind of that idea where, has it been built into the price? It's Pablo Larrazabal.
Yeah.
This is his local course. You look on the European Tour website, affiliate club El Prat, there he is. Mm. And it's not just that, because in 2011, he came third here. So it's not just, he might go well. Well, he's proven that he has done well on this course. And he knows how to win. He's won some good events as Larrazabal. And, you know, I just think he's a nice sort of... Nice sort of mixture of things coming together.
He's a good player, Dave. I really like him. He's a little bit volatile, would be the only, you know, but
at least you know you're on someone who can win. If he gets up there, you're not just thinking, he might just sort of trundle on and finish fifth.
No.
You know, he can beat the big guys and win events. And obviously, I think it does count for quite a lot this week that he's on his local course.
Yes.
Okay. Just seems to enjoy.
I understand that. Shall I give you my one that I'm going to pick? He's been cut from 40s to 33s, which is just... It doesn't make the bet quite as interesting, I have to be honest. It's 40s was just about, you know, the number, and 33s is a little bit lower. But I wouldn't like to miss him now. So Alex Norén is my pick in this event. Played well here on the last occasion it was here. Come back after injury at the back end of 2014, and with some really good finishes, including even in this calendar year, three top tens or thereabouts in the trot, in Qatar, Dubai and Thailand. Slightly gone off the boil in recent weeks, but was 26th last time out in the China Open. He's a very good greens and regulation man. He was 11th, I think it was, last time here. Yes, 11th in 2011. He's a player I have a lot of time for, although when I just checked there, his last win on tour was 2011. It's a longer ago.
Had problems, hasn't he?
He's had injuries, hasn't he?
He was out for a long time, wasn't
he?
Yeah.
But that's further ago than I'd have liked for a 33-1 shot, if I'm being honest. So I'm only going to have a half point each way, and given that I'd at 40s, I probably would have had a little bit more. But I do expect him to play well here this week. It's the kind of course I think he should thrive at. So he's my one... Slightly lower speculation.
Yeah, it's tentative pick.
It's a bit tentative, yeah. I nearly, yeah.
I'd have gone with Manassero here, Matteo Manassero.
Yeah, he was very much on my mind, Dave.
50-1 though.
Again, I thought, oh, he might be about 100s or 80s. They're still not quite got on, caught onto him, but that's not the case, is it? 50s.
I still think he might. In hindsight, when you look back on the year and think, was he 50s in that? That was fair enough.
But if he wins, yeah.
I'll just check it, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, the problem was his driving and his long game. He was in between swings. He said swing patterns. It makes him sound a bit like Tiger droning on. But but I think in his last event, I think he was something like first for driving accuracy and second for greens in reg. So it looks to me like he's got that totally sorted out. So I don't think that's the worst bet.
I think it's a golf course that should suit him as well, because I don't think his lack of length is going to be an issue around this golf course. I really don't, in all honesty. And given that he has come into a bit of form after those string of miscuts, they were broken with that tie for 59th in the Trophy Hazan, then back that up with the 29th place finish at Shenzhen, and an 18th place finish in the Volvo China Open subsequently.
Yeah, it's just sort of inching better by the week, isn't it? Yeah.
To be honest, I'm looking at my 33-1 Norren and thinking 50-1 Manassero.
Change it live on air.
I think I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it.
Woo, go for it.
33 is too short of him, isn't it? I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I'll have a little bit of Matteo instead. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like all of that.
Especially those stats when...
Yeah.
I think I saw the price and then thought, well, is he...
I'll have half a point each way on both. There you go.
Yeah.
Take them both, Alex Norren and Matteo Manassero.
Because you sometimes wonder if it is smoke and mirrors that he's got better again, but no, it's proper. He's got better for a proper long, proper reasons.
No, I looked at him long and hard. He would have been my player. I don't want to win if I hadn't picked him, so I'm going to pick him now.
Okay. Yeah. Who's your second selection then, Dev?
If Mike's having half a point each way on him, I'll have the other half point each way, and we'll sort of carry him on a shoulder.
Come on, Dave.
And cheer him on collectively.
You have half a point each way on him as well. Come on.
No, don't bait me into this. This is like me with a free lunch bet here.
We could get a draw on the free lunch bet.
50-1 Matteo Manassero then.
Yeah, my other guy is another 50-1 shot actually. Chris Wood likes playing in Spain. Was seventh in this last year. Was second in the Iberdrola Open, I think it was called.
Yeah,
was runner up in that in 2011. That was the same year as this event was at El Prat when he was top 25 again in that. He's had another top five in Mallorca, just a part of the world that he seems to play well in. Recent form, he's another one coming back from an injury. And when he first came back, struggled, not too surprised. Not everyone can be like Thorbjørn Olesen and just hit the ground running.
No.
And he struggled a bit, but then he was third in the Trophy Hassan, fourth in greens in regulation that week, and did okay in China, 29th and 31st, just sort of kept the engine running there. But I think this could be the week where he really kicks on. I think he'll like the course. And I think 50-1, I don't think he's been...
Very good greens in regulation player, isn't
yeah,
he? Which I think is a key, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think like the handicap has got him or anything. I think 50-1's fair enough.
Yeah, I get that one.
Good stuff. 50-1, Chris Wood.
Who else did you like, Dave? You liked Matteo, didn't you?
Yeah,
I like
Matteo a lot. I like Tyrrell Hatton as well. He was just a little bit on the short side for an actual bet at 50-1, but I think he's an improving player, and I want him on side at some point in the near future. Maybe not quite accurate enough off the tee for this venue, but comes into this on the back of a tie for 15th in Shenzhen and a tie for 8th at the Volvo China Open as well, so he interests me. And
what about Garcia?
I was just about to mention that. He's been well backed, hasn't he, at the top of the market, Garcia, this week?
I mean, in theory, he's just nearly beaten the best in the world. And now here he is, a Spaniard, coming back to Spain.
Can't be trusted, though, can he, at such a short price? I don't think. I cast my mind back to 2011, when he'd won two big tournaments in Spain.
One of them on his home course.
Yeah, at Valderrama, and then he took the Castelo Masters, didn't he? It back-to-back weeks, and yes. I think he went off 3-1 for the second of those two events.
Yeah,
when he won those back-to-back. Surprisingly, he didn't play in this tournament for 10 years. Yeah. Which you think it's his national open?
Did it clash with something, or did he have a row with the?
I'm not sure, in all honesty, but you think his national open would supersede almost any other event, and maybe not high up on his. That high up on his wish list.
So he's never won it, has he?
Won it once.
Has he won it once?
Yeah, he's won it once.
When he was a 22-year-old, I think. I think he's the youngest ever winner of the tournament.
Right.
That was a long, 2002, was that something?
Yeah, I think he...
Oh, yes, he has.
Was it 2002?
2002. Yeah. Yeah, you're bang on with this. Mm. Yeah, 73 in the final round, yeah.
What do you think to Garcia then, Mike?
It wouldn't be for me, but then again, he never is now. And he... Yeah, I expected him to drop off last week rather than play as well as he did. Yeah. You know, I used to love backing Sergio years ago, but he just has a squiggle for me now, you know, from betting perspective. He's still immensely talented, don't get me wrong, but he's kind of overbet always. He, for what he wins, he's always shorter than I think he should be.
Yeah.
And the value is ultimately what we're looking for in this. So it would be no surprise to see him win. Immensely talented, but I wouldn't have him at 9-2.
Any others in mind?
If I was picking a Spaniard, it would be Rafael Cabrera-Bello, who played well here the last time it was here, and he's showing some signs of reasonable form, and he's a good greens in regulation man. But more pertinently, Tommy Fleetwood was... If he was a bit bigger price, I would have probably picked him. He's been in great form lately, hasn't he, with a third in the Shenzhen International and played ever so well in the match play. I don't know if you noticed how well he played there. He's got to be elevating his game somewhat. And again, he's got the type of game that I think really suits this place. So, but 22-1, probably a little bit short for a bet.
See, I think Griot is a better 22-1 shot.
Like, do you?
Yeah.
That's got free lunch bet all over it, hasn't it?
Well, Griot, it's absolutely tons of greens in regulation. He plays well in Spain, obviously speaking his mother tongue. I just think he's going to win very soon. I think he's very, very consistent as well.
Well, I'm a fan of Griot. Grillo. Grillo. I'm a fan of Grillo. Grillo. I am, but you have to say he's not winning, is he? He's not won yet, which Fleetwood has. And he's backed off a couple of times. So I'd like to see him win before I followed him in. He's one of those, I think, once he gets a win, he's very young, very talented.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think the 22 has put me off, but I think 22 puts me off both of them, him and Fleetwood.
Fleetwood's won how many times on tour? Just once?
Once in Scotland, wasn't it? Johnny Walker, was it?
I thought, of the others, I thought...
Both good players, but the layers know they're good players, don't they? Yes. They're giving nothing
They're both
away.
Too short, in truth. Second, I think he was here in 2011. Anders Hansen might be a big price. Not been playing that well, but clearly likes the course.
Okay, we'll tidy up the selections, listeners, at the end of the podcast. Don't worry about that.
I've forgotten what I picked.
You got confused. Let's move on to the Wells Fargo Championship. And for me, this tournament always will be remembered as the scene of Rory McIlroy's first PGA Tour win. That incredible 66-62 over the weekend to win by four from Phil Mickelson. And he returns as 3-1 favourite for this year's championship. Henrik Stenson is 18-1. Jim Furyk is 20-1 here with William Hill. Also 20s, Phil Mickelson. Hideki Matsuyama is 22s. Bill Haas, 28-1. Adam Scott, JB Holmes and Kevin Kisner, all 33s. 40-1, Louis Oosthuizen, Patrick Reed and Ryan Moore. And 50-1 and bigger the remainder. And Quail Hollow once again serves as host for the event. And it's a good test for the players as well. The course is long, measures 7,562 yards. And the bent grass greens that had become very patchy in places were replaced with Bermuda grass in 2013. So hopefully those putting surfaces will have been bedded in with another year on their backs. The fairway is difficult to hit here. The green's tough to find. So, Mike, it's always a challenge for this field.
Do you think... Can I pull you up on that?
Yeah, go on.
Do you think the fairways are hard? I don't think it matters.
No, I'm not.
I said they're difficult to hit.
Right.
I don't think it matters if you miss them.
Okay.
I'm just saying they're difficult to hit.
Right, okay.
You can still get to the green.
Yeah.
People might presume from that you need to be a tight... You know, to be an accurate driver. I don't think you do.
To be fair...
No, you don't at all have to be an accurate driver.
No.
But these fairways are some of the toughest to hit on tour.
But the rough's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a tricky one to work out exactly the identical kind of winner for this event. If anything, I just think a hot putter probably helps a little bit because there's no real, for me, any correlation between driving distance or driving accuracy, really. There's a mix of players, like JB Holmes won it last year, didn't he? And Furyk was second.
Yeah.
They're almost like polar opposites. Yeah. So for me, it's... Yeah, getting on the green in the right number, maybe proximity to the hole helps. You're having a good week with the putter. I don't know. Do you favour bombers over?
Yes.
I've gone for someone who can hit it a bit of a way myself as my main pick, but I've just veered on that slightly.
I think length off the tee is is a must for me this week with the players that I've gone for. I also think scrambling's a positive around here. You've got to make your score on the par fives as well on this golf course, Dave, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And all the things you and Mike have just said, it kind of fits the person I'm going for.
Very good.
You lead us off. I've got a couple of picks here.
Two for me.
Go first.
Yeah. Number one pick, pretty obvious, I think, based on his record, Phil Mickelson. I think Mickelson's getting to that age in his career, maybe like Woods was, where you just kind of back him at certain events and then just give up on him the rest of the time. You know, you back him at Augusta, that comes in each way, you know, easy money this year. Here he's had 7 top tens, 11th last year. See, that doesn't even count. 11th last year.
Yeah.
When he shot 63, shot 29 on the front nine, went berserk, but just wasn't consistent over the 4 days. He's the tournament's second biggest money earner. I mean, he'd had numerous chances to win one win, and he would be probably the leading money earner. And, yeah, when he was 11th last year, I think he was really struggling for form. This year, he's obviously coming. Well, he didn't play well last week, did he? But who cares?
This sounds stupid because he's won there, but I don't think Sawgrass suits him very well at all.
Well,
I don't know how he ever
did
won there.
That is exactly what he himself said.
Did he? Right, yeah, no.
I'd
always avoid him at Sawgrass like at the plague, yeah.
He actually said in his post-press conference on Friday, he said, while I was playing, I was wandering around thinking, how on earth did I win here?
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
No, it's
in his transcripts.
Fantastic.
It just doesn't suit in the course. So absolutely, I'd ignore that.
Yeah, strike a line through that. Go off his Augusta form. And just, you know, it's maybe here in Augusta is probably almost the only place that I'd back him now. Maybe in an open somewhere. If he gets a fancy price. But I think 20-1's fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because
he was on my list, Dave, very much.
Because if you look at his results, he's either scratching around a bit or he's kind of top three. So, you know, it's not like he'll knock it about and come seventh. When he's on, so he's either winning or coming second or third. So I think that's a good each-way price, Phil Mickelson.
20-1, Phil Mickelson, Dave's headline selection. Mike?
Well, I was tempted to go for someone at the head of the market because I'm due a winner, so I was thinking, can I go for someone who's got a chance?
Right.
You know, so it was McIlroy or someone like that. I was trying to be a little bit conservative this week, but I didn't see the prices that I'd like to get a winner to get moving for this this podcast. But instead of that, I've gone for a 66-1 shot and 150-1 shot. So wear that out.
Nice.
My first pick is Gary Woodland, who played ever so well the week before last in the match play, beaten by Rory McIlroy in the final of the match play. Missed the cut in the players with a 79 in the first round. That wasn't a massive surprise, was it, after playing so many rounds in the match play?
Yeah.
You kind of ignore that. I'm kind of going on the basis that if it is a long hitter's paradise, no one hits it longer than Woodland when he's really on it. So, 3 of his last 5 events, he's been around the top 25. Take the Masters and the players out of that, he'd been 3 out of 3. Hits it a long way. Needs to putt better this week. I'm slightly worried about his putting, I have to say. He's right down in the depths of the SGP stats, 147th. But he's a good greens in regulation player. Not as good this year as normal, but definitely hits a lot of greens in regulation. I think if he's got his putter with him and on fire, well, not even on fire, if he can putt at his best, 66-1 could look a very big price. When you're watching the match play final, if you said Woodland's going to be 66-1 in 2 weeks' time.
On a course where
hitting a long way,
you'd have thought
that's a big price. Yeah. So it's a little bit speculative, I have to admit that. He's also got a little bit of course form.
Finished top 20, didn't he, I think, last year?
He was 18th last year, Dave.
Yeah.
So
I think, as with Mickelson, I think if you say they'd done all right at Sawgrass, or Sawgrass had never happened, I think Mickelson would be something like 16s, Woodland would be 50s.
Yeah.
So you get an extra value on.
Yeah, definitely. I think Woodland might even be shorter than that, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the likes of Ben Martin at 50s and Kisner, mind you, Kisner's played great, hasn't he? But look, I think at 66, he whacks it a mile. He's top 20 form here. He played really well in the Cadillac, which will just mentally give him a boost. And he's been in good form over the last 6 and 8 months, and it's about time he got a win under his belt again.
Okay, Gary Woodland, 66-1 is Mike's headline selection here. I'm going Patrick Reed. I think 40s is
pretty decent on Patrick Reed. I really do. I think it's good price. Yeah. Big price in this field for a player that has won four times since the end of 2013. I think this is a course that should suit his game as well. If you look at his bare statistics, you'd be forgiven for questioning his quality because he's way down the rankings on some of the stats. But two key statistics, I always look at the strokes gain statistics, and in strokes gain tee to green and strokes gain putting, he's in the top 25 in both those stats. He's way down in 192nd in driving accuracy on tour this season. But that's not going to be costly at this venue, I don't think, as we mentioned earlier. He's 18th in strokes gained putting, 3rd in scrambling, and he can score on the par 5s as well. His form's solid, played here a couple of times, so has a little bit of course experience as well. Tied for the first round lead, actually, on his debut in 2012 when he was an unknown quantity back then, shot a 66 around here. He's a winner, Patrick Reed, so I'm happy to have him on board at 40-1 in this field.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
can definitely argue with that. Yeah.
Definitely a winner. Fair call.
Dev, back to me. Another young guy, 50-1, Justin Thomas. Smashes it long, I think, in his last four events. He's been in the top five for driving distance. And he's had a good kind of look at contending on the last day. I think he was in the final group three tournaments in succession earlier in the year on the West Coast. Showed up strongly, didn't he, last week at the Players?
Very well.
Had that 10 birdie 65 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, surprise, surprise, he couldn't match it on the Sunday and suddenly golf seemed hard again. So he dropped away, didn't he, to 24th?
Did he?
Yeah,
is that
surprising,
he
isn't it?
Yeah, that is, I didn't think he finished that low.
So yeah. I think that might just have maybe bought us another 10 points, maybe. I think he could easily be 40s in this. First time he's having a look at the course, but I just think he's... I don't know. I know I've gone for Mickelson, which kind of goes against us, but although I did say Mickelson, I would back him very rarely nowadays. There does seem that element of changing of the guard, doesn't there? So people like Reed and Justin Thomas. Well, you look at some of these now, and they're I know they're sort of classing... some ways, but like Scott's wavering, isn't he? Oostay's and not really doing anything. There's some of the sort of older guard that are being priced up maybe on past glories a little bit.
Yeah, you could be right.
We're at that moment where at the moment maybe you think these younger guys should be a bit bigger, but maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should be shorter.
It's my hesitation with Justin Thomas is I think he's very similar in terms of quality to Daniel Berger. Out of a very similar mould, and Berger's 80-1 here and Thomas is 50-1. I don't see much between those two players. If you ignore Berger's performance at the Players, where he missed the cut, he contended and hit the ball brilliantly, didn't he, in New Orleans the week before last, and he's 30 points bigger.
Get on him then.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe I should.
He's another one, though.
He would be the one that...
I would agree,
was last off the list, if you know what I mean.
He's another of these players who's, how good is he? We don't quite know. And in a couple of years, it would be like, God, he went off at that price.
Yeah.
Compared to like some old stage.
No, I think you could be right there. 80-1 Daniel Berger. He's not a pick, but he was one of the last off the list for me.
I think.
Definitely.
This Thomas is probably more consistent week in, week out, I think. Berger maybe has his highs.
Maybe a little bit more consistent. So yeah. I think he's more highly rated just about than Daniel Berger. Yeah. But there's
I know what you're saying.
Cigarette paper between them, though, I think. Mike, who are you going for as your second
selection? Yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of a speculative plunge for my second pick, Dave. I'm going for Jeff Ogilvie at 150-1.
Yes.
Always plays pretty well here without troubling the judge too much, so he needs to step up a bit. But he's just a quality player to be available at that price for me. 48th in the Masters, then 24th in the Players last week, where he putted better. His putting's been pretty dreadful this season. But he finished last season quite nicely, a couple of very good finishes. In fact, had a win in the Barracuda, where he did put well. Putted well again by his standards, put well by anyone's standards at Sawgrass. And I'm just hoping that top 25 gives him a little bit of inspiration. He perennially makes the cut in this event, likes the course, so he hasn't really gone near to winning it. But I just think an each-way poker at 150-1, he's got a bit of class about him.
There's a lot of, if you go down the list of winners of this event, there's so many of them are major winners, aren't they?
Yes.
Even like Lucas Glover.
Absolutely.
Like Toms and just McIlroy. There's lots and lots of them who have got that extra bit of class. It does seem like I also sometimes use it the other way, see who does well here and think maybe they're worth backing in a major afterwards.
That's a fair point. So Jeff Ogilvie, 150-1.
It's a bit speculative, Dave, you know, but he... I thought he was going to have a better season than this. He ended last season really well, but that top 25 in the players caught my eye.
I'm going to take a flyer with Stephen Bowditch as my final selection here at 250-1 and have half a point each way on him. Was an emotional win, if you remember, when he triumphed at the Texas Open last year and just held on there, closing with that 76. You're as likely to get a miscut as you are a top 20 with Stephen Bowditch, but he finished runner-up at the Fries in his first event this season, struck the ball well, very well, in the second round of the Players last week after opening with a poor round of 77. The week before that, he'd ranked 12th in strokes gained tee to green on his way to a 12th place finish at the Zurich Classic. He's long off the tee, so ticks that box. 28th in driving distance this season. He's also second in scrambling this season. His touch has been incredible this year, Stephen Bowditch. He's played here twice and made the cut on both occasions, so I thought that bode well for this tournament. And given that he was so high in those stats that I looked at, the driving distance and the scrambling, just wanted him on side this week, and 250-1, take a play on him half a point each way. 250-1, half a point each way.
That's a big price.
Yeah, so I'll take him. Who was closest for you, Dave? Who almost made the cut?
I did like George McNeil, but you have sort of limits and standards and prices, and not two figures. That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Three figures or more. He's just played very well recently, George McNeil, and he's got a very good record in this event that's even better when you look at it where he is in the round-by-round positions. I think he's been in the top three several times going into the weekend, but hasn't quite finished it off.
Yep.
Says he really likes the course. So a lot of good recent form, just a nice marriage of the two, but 80s. I mean, he's won twice before, but they were a little while ago, but I wanted 100s minimum.
At least.
Yeah, and 80s, nah.
What about you, Mike?
I've always expected Webb Simpson, who he plays out of here, doesn't he, Webb Simpson, to do better here. His form figures aren't that remarkable. I think he's had one good finish here, but he was fourth, in fact, in 2012. He's not putting quite well enough for me at the moment, I think, for
his
game.
He's changed, hasn't he? He's changed
the short
putter. Changing
his putter and that just put me up. But I don't know. He seems to...
Is that a thing? All the guys who sort of have to change, am I imagining it, or are they all playing rubbish? Like Scott?
Bradley?
Yeah.
Simpson?
Yeah.
Are they all kind of like betwixt and between?
It's definitely affecting them. Even Adam Scott, who's gone back to his long putter... He's putting terribly with the long putter at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like he's sort of realised, well, this doesn't really count because I'm going to have to ditch this soon.
Yeah.
His heart's not quite in it, I don't know.
I think, like you mentioned, I think that a lot of them are betwixt and between, especially in Adam Scott's case. He can't decide whether to go with the long putter or switch back to the shorter putter. So it's tough for those guys.
He's definitely struggling, isn't he?
I look back at the last year's Players' Championship. I look back and... Rory and Adam Scott were, I think, joint 14-1 favourites. This year, Rory goes off at what, sevens or eights, and Adam Scott went off at 40s. So they've really sort of separated, haven't they?
Yeah, he's putting struggling. Simpson was seventh in the Cadillac and seventh in the Humana not so long ago. So, but he's always been on my mind for this tournament. And another massive price, Jonathan Bird, some good form here.
Yep. I liked Jason Kokrak, another...
Yeah, I looked at him.
Lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, so he's got a link there, knows the course well, and he's in very good form at the moment, isn't he? Long off the tee, progressive form at the venue as well. He's got four top 20s in his last six starts, so he was of interest at 80s. And I like Sean O'Hare as well.
Yeah, former winner.
Former winner here in 2009. 50-1,
I think he'll win somewhere this year. But
he's playing a lot better, isn't he? He was on my list.
Just out of interest, what I was trying to steal your mouse there to
Yeah, I noticed you were fighting over the mouse. I was wondering what was going on.
It's on the other side of the desk, so you'll struggle.
Sometimes you can overcomplicate things, can't you? What is the double on McIlroy and Garcia?
The McIlroy-Garcia double here with Hills.
Each way? You're going each way?
21-1.
What do you think of that?
Not for me at all, I must admit. I think Garcia's got a chance. I'd rather back McIlroy than Garcia at the prices.
Yeah, I'm not on either of them this week. I don't know. 3-1 short, isn't it? I look, it's perfectly plausible they could win it. But
he played brilliantly in the match play to win that, and he played brilliantly last week without putting well and still finished top 10. And he loves this golf course, doesn't he? Clearly, having won here and being beaten in a playoff, so. The stars are aligning for McIlroy.
If I was a bookmaker, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to be giving 5-1. So you've got to be sensible about it. 3-1 probably is the right price. You'd fancy that a bit, would you, Dave, at double?
I don't know. It does seem short now. You've totted it up, doesn't it?
20-1 I've got 155 players against both of them. Yeah, I don't know.
I just think a few people might want to get on that.
Let's put it this way. I'd fancy my chances more of picking out someone at 80-1 for a place than needing both McIlroy and Garcia to win at 21-1. I think that's fair.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. That might make it. I'm back with you.
Let's have a lunch. No, that's too complicated.
Yeah. A lunch double.
See, did you notice last week the lunch bet that never was? I was going Nair against Horschel and it wins.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have the lunch bet.
That was the
monkey
reason.
On his back.
I'm going to
pay up for and never have that bet ever again.
I'm needing you to have a lunch bet with me just to get my guy in contention.
Yeah, just walk away from it.
Needed. Okay, chaps. Who's the player you don't want to win then? Who would it?
Webb Simpson.
Webb Simpson for you. I think it'd be Jason Kokrak for me then. Dave.
I think I don't want that double to win. I think because I've talked about it.
You're allowed to have one in each. Obvious. Yeah, McIlroy and Garcia. Yeah.
Let's recap the selections then. Start off with the picks in the Open de España, Mike.
Well, after prevaricating and dithering, I am going to keep Norrin in and put Manassero in. So half a point each way on each at 33s and 50s.
Okay, and Dave?
Yes, I'll have the other half point each way on Manassero to get him up to a point each way. And then Chris Wood, a point each way at 50s. And, of course, Lara Tharble, 25s, a point and a half each way.
Superb. I'm going...
point and a half each way.
I'm going in the Wells Fargo. I'm going to take a point each way, Patrick Reed at 40-1. Half a point each way on Stephen Bowditch at 250-1, Mike.
I am going for a point each way, Gary Woodland at 66-1. And half a point each way, Jeff Ogilvy at 150-1.
Superb. Dave?
Yeah, at 20s, Phil Mickelson, point and a half each way. I think he's a really good each way shout in this. And then Justin Thomas, just half a point each way at 50s.
Superb. Thank you, chaps.
Catch us all on Twitter.
You can, as always, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, and at Dave Tyndall Golf.
Is Mike going to put up a Champions Tour tip?
I knew I was meant to mention that. It's it's the tradition, isn't it? One of the five the majors this week.
I will definitely put up a Champions the major, because I always bet in those. So I haven't looked yet, though, in truth. I haven't had the time to even cast my eye over the prices. So definitely will put a Twitter bet up for that. I love the majors on the Champions
Tour. They're good. The betting is available here with William Hill on that as well. As mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf. Get your bets on for the Open de España and the Wells Fargo Championship. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back again next week. Speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.